The more we know God's presence, the more our lives will change. He can do in a moment what years of trying won't produce. His presence is so awesome, so healing, so restoring. Last week, Mike and Kate Chance talked about remaining in His love, and they talked of the glorious presence that we will know. They talked about His love that will come out of us and enter the lives of people we encounter when we remain in His love. When we remain in His love, we remain in His favor, and we experience the favor of God at every point and in our lives. God's favor is manifested in the lives of people who remain in His love. Remaining in His love. So what does it mean? And how do we do that? How do I remain in His love? How does anybody remain in His love? What is the way to get to that place? Our lives are so full of so much activity. We all work. We all have social lives. We all are bombarded with endless advertising messages wherever we go. We're all being told to do something, buy something, be something. In fact, I find driving a challenge because there's so many information sticks coming at you all the time when you're driving. There's just so much information, and there's so much demanding my mind. There's so much demanding of my life, and I'm probably no different than anybody here. There's so much asked of your life. And so you've got this clutter of information, and then you go online and you do a Google search on something, and you get more information coming into your heart, and you get more information. You get letters from the council. You get letters from your utility bills. There's more information. You're dealing with information, and you just get busier and busier. And where do you remain in His love? How do you do that in the midst of all this information clog that goes on in our lives, things that demand our time, our energy, our resources? It's really interesting. The guys at King of Faith Horsham came across a woman by the name of Dr. Caroline Leaf, leaf as in the leaf of a tree, and she's a neuroscientist. She has studied the human brain quite extensively, but what makes her different from any other neuroscientist is she's a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And so she has been interviewed by Joyce Meyer on her television program. She's been with the Copelands on their program and several people all over the world. And what she's doing is showing a correlation between what God's Word says and what goes on in our brains. It's really interesting, and you can go and Google Dr. Caroline Leaf, and you'll find a lot of amazing information. So what I've got, I got from just watching and listening to what she's saying. But one thing she said, which I want to impart to you, is when they've taken people who've died and they've done an autopsy on them and they've analyzed their brain, looked at it under a microscope, they're able to see that thoughts, information, is actually contained in something which looks like a tree. And it's in the outer cortex of the brain. It's all these trees, masses and masses of trees of information. And the more a person studies or fills their mind with one particular set of information, the thicker the branches of that tree become in the brain. And the more they begin to interact with the branches of other trees of information, so you get this incredible amount of cross-pollination of information going on in the brain, which is positive and helpful to us. In the same way, people who don't build any knowledge or understanding into their brains, when they examine their brains, they find a marked absence of the trees or a sparse population of trees, very little information in the cortex of the brain. The other thing she studied, which I find fascinating, is there's another tree that grows in the brain as well. It's a tree which grows as a result of negative thought. There's an absolute tree that grows in your brain. You have to look through a microscope to see it. But she identifies it as trees, and they grow through negative thought. And those negative trees have the ability, if we focus on them and we feed them, they have the ability to become more and more toxic to our lives and toxic to our bodies. And their theory is that 87% of disease is caused by wrong thinking. And she says that these toxic trees, if they're allowed to grow, they begin to interact with the other trees around them, and they begin to paralyze them and stop them from fulfilling the information that has been stored away for them. Now, this has got nothing to do with God, you may think, but isn't it fascinating that God, who created us, worked it out like this? Isn't it amazing that God worked out how he would store the information in us? How every time we encountered him, he would begin to change the very physiological shape of our brains, not the shape, but the content of our brain would be impacted. Do you know that your brain fulfills 2 million actions every second? You know, you think, well, I'm only thinking, sitting on a chair. Those are two of the things you can think of right now. They are your whole body, the whole system is running. Every single part of your system is being run. The hormone releases. Everything else is going on in this control of this incredible brain, which helps us to survive and keep going with God. And what's the point of all this? If thoughts can be identified in my brain as positive trees, let's call it that, and negative thoughts can be seen in my brain as negative trees, then what does this mean to me? The more information I've understood that I give the positive trees, the more prevalent they become, the more they grow in my brain. But negative thoughts like taking offense, like unforgiveness, like fear, like unbelief, becomes toxic to my body eventually. They become toxic in my brain, and then they become toxic to my body. It's very interesting. I listened to something which Bill Johnson said a few months back. He said when he meets somebody who has a flu or a cold, he says to them, can you remember what was happening 2 weeks ago in your life? And he says it's remarkable how many of them got a high bill from the tax man or a high bill from the gas company or had somebody say something abusive or unkind to them or do something to them in the traffic 2 weeks before, and they got angry and they got stirred up about it. 2 weeks later, they got this flu going on in their bodies. It's really interesting when I heard that, and I heard that months ago. Now I begin to understand why, because what they've done is they've fed the toxic thoughts in their mind, they've fed the toxic tree, and the toxic tree is affecting their bodies. And so you can see how this begins to happen. This toxic tree can cause depression in us, can cause illness. It can cause just a sense of worthlessness. It can also cause us to come to a place where we can't acknowledge, we can't interact with God, because there's so much negativity that our brain has lost the ability to come to that place of interacting with God. When we try to pray, it's like praying when we say the heavens are brass. What's actually happening is our very cortex of our brain has become full of toxic thoughts. And so what's happened is we can't pray through that blockage. We're not exercising our brain. We're not exercising the presence of God in our lives any longer. And so what happens, it becomes harder and harder to encounter God in prayer. And you find when you sit down to try and pray or read the Word, your mind is like this massive computer. And wow, all these thoughts are flying through it. And remember to do this. And what about that? And what about this person? And what about that movie I saw? And what about this? And this is information going on. And you say, I can't pray. I'm not able to pray. I'm not able to read the Word of God. It just gets me stirred up to read the Word. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to pray because I can't see the point. You know, I look at other people who pray and I think, wow, isn't it amazing? I can't do that. And what I've come to understand is I've allowed, if that happens, so much of the other stuff to grow in the cortex of my brain that it's began to become toxic to my ability to encounter God in my brain. And so you'll see people who say, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Word. I find the Word boring. I find God actually unstimulating completely. I'd rather watch a movie. It's more interesting to me. And that's exactly what's happened. We've built our brains in that way that we cannot easily break through this place into the place that God has for us. Now the good news is, it can be eradicated, but it's going to take some work. Because what we've got to do is we've got to start building the positive trees. We've got to start feeding the positive Word with the Word of God flowing into our minds, building the trees, thickening the branches of these trees. Bear in mind, we're talking about something you see through a microscope. building them so that they eventually drive back the toxic thoughts. They drive back the trees which are damaging to our brains and stop us from being able to understand this. She's affirmed this. I've read this before, that it takes 21 days to learn a new habit in your life. If you do something for 21 days, there's a pretty good chance it's going to become a learned habit and you're going to stay with that. But for 21 days, we will have to stay in that place of building, building, building so that we establish the strength of our brains again, connected to the Holy Spirit, with the truth of God flowing through our lives again. It will take endurance. I'll never forget when I stopped smoking, I wasn't a Christian. And for 3 weeks, I drove everybody nuts around me. I was just so unpleasant and grumpier than normal and growly. And you know, it's the first time I'd ever made my secretary burst into tears. And she was known as one of the toughest secretaries in the company. And, you know, even as she was in tears, I was just so unpleasant. But I was growing new pathways in my brain, which did not rely on tobacco to make it all work and to calm it down and stimulate it. Some of you may be able to identify with that. So after 21 days, we get to a place where our brains are in a position where there's enough positive growth in our brains, enough positive insights in our minds to cause us to begin to understand in a different way. And to begin to hear God and to begin to be stimulated by the presence of God. But it takes a concerted decision to change the pattern of my thinking, to change what I'm putting in so that what comes out changes completely. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 or 32, he said, "When you know the truth will make you free." Knowing the truth can actually be expressed as a visible occurrence in our brains. Truth is a visible occurrence. The more truth I put into my brain, the more these branches grow of these positive trees, which is the way they express information. The more I build them, the greater they come. So the more truth I have, the more free I become. The more truth I build into my brain, the less subject I become to the toxicity of the other stuff, and the greater my ability to understand and to think becomes in my life, and I change myself completely. So when I hold to his teaching, he promises me that this will set me free. Now turn with me, please, into Romans chapter 8. And have a look with me from verse 5. He says, those who live according to, your Bible might say, sinful nature, it's better translated their flesh, have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So there's two places here in our mind. There's one place which is controlled by the Holy Spirit. There's one place which is controlled by our flesh. And he says, if you have your mind set upon the part controlled by the Holy Spirit, you will desire what the Spirit desires. If you have your mind on the other one, the flesh, you will love what the Spirit has to, what the flesh has to offer you. It says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. If we have never built God's law, God's word into our mind, we're unable to submit to it because there's nothing there to sustain that, because we've built so much toxic growth into our minds that it's impossible for us to latch into the positive without a concerted effort. Okay. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God because their minds are consumed with what the sinful nature desires. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you are controlled not by your sinful nature, but by the Spirit. The Spirit lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, is Christ in you? Yes. Washington, is Christ in you? Amen. Amen. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through the spirit who lives in you. Can you see what happens? As we respond to the spirit builds the positive part of our brain. The positive part of our brain gives life to our bodies. And our bodies begin to change just because the Holy Spirit has been given the freedom to do that. Okay, you got it. For if you live according to, that's verse 13, for you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. The ones who live according to the Spirit, the Bible tells us they're the sons. The ones who live according to the other stuff are struggling to be sons, and they don't actually know how to do this. Neuroscientists have now proven and shown that if we receive, and this ties in with what Pastor Colin always does, he says that if we receive positive information and we acknowledge it as truth and receive it, it will become truth to us. What does Pastor Colin do every single time he says something out of the Word of God? He goes, somebody thought amen and forgot to say it. Why is he doing this? Because he needs you to make him feel cool as the preacher that you're actually responding? Not at all. The more you take the word, the more you affirm the truth, the greater the growth goes on in your brain at any given time. If you say, that is truth, put it in my life, that becomes truth in your brain, and your brain begins to grow. We don't even bring our Bible to church because we probably don't read it that much. But the Bible's the Word of God, so you hear it through your ears, you put it in through your eyes, it's a double whammy, straight into your good brain trees, and you begin to say, wow, I've got truth. Do you know, guys, I write notes of every single person who preaches in this church. It doesn't matter who they are. I make notes of every single sermon of anybody preaches. Why? Because I've got a terrible memory? No, it's not bad. I go home, and tonight when I get home, I look at what they said. And I look at the scriptures of what they said. And tomorrow morning when I wake up, I look at it again. And I say, wow. That's truth. Let it become truth to me. Let my life change. Let the positive growth in my life happen because I'm filling myself with truth for no other reason. It's not that I'm less intelligent than anybody else and therefore I need to make notes. It's because I'm honoring the Word. I'm valuing the Spirit. I'm saying, Spirit of God, put that in me. And I want to say yes and amen. Do you hear K chance? Every single positive word. Yes, amen. Yes, Lord. What's she doing? Being funny, a funny American lady? No, she's not. She is acknowledging truth because the more you acknowledge it, the more it works in your life. The more you say, yes, that's truth, it begins to work in your own life. For no other reason. It does you good. Does me no good. Does you good. It helps you if you choose to say, that's truth. I want that truth in my life. Amen. You know what this lady, neuroscientist lady says? It's Caroline Leaf. She says, when you get some information, it gets added to the positive tree in your brain. But if you don't affirm it and review it, it gets broken off while you sleep and gets deposited in the bin. In the outbox. No, it's actually the bin because you can't retrieve it. And that is why you'll say, I once read something about that, but I can't remember what it was. This is vaguely familiar, but I can't remember what it is. The same happens with truth. If you hear it once here, and tomorrow morning somebody says, what did Les preach about yesterday? I don't know. It was pretty cool, I think. I can't remember. Might have been helpful. I'm not sure. It's gone. It's been stolen from you. Because there are little cells that go scurrying around your brain, keeping it tidy. And everything that's loosely attached, it takes away and chucks in the outbox. And so you lose the information. But if you take that and you put it in and you say, this information is going to be life to me, it begins to become life to you. It does what Jesus said. It says the truth will set you free. But it's the truth you know that sets you free, the truth that's in your mind that sets you free. It's not truth that's lying in the Bible that's going to set you free. It's what you take and put into yourself that will make you free. You know, it's very interesting. I was looking at the scriptures when Peter and John went into the temple in Acts chapter 3 through the gate called Beautiful. And there was this guy being carried to the temple to beg to the gate who'd been crippled since birth. And as he was brought into the temple, he looked at them and he asked them for some money. And what did Peter say? Fascinating. He said, look at us. And what does the next line say? He gave them his attention because he thought he was going to get something from them. That is key to truth entering into anybody's heart. Give me your attention and I'll be able to put something in your life that's going to help you. Think about something else and you're wasting your time being here. You might be doing your conscience a bit of good, but that's about it. But give me your attention and I will help you to change your life. But treat it as best optional extra. Like Jesus when he went to his hometown Nazareth. And the Son of God could not even do many miracles there. Why? Because they were offended at him. What were they doing? They were building their offense tree in their brains. All of them building their offense tree. Who is this? This is the carpenter's son. What's he doing having this kind of wisdom? And he could not heal them. You see, the more the pathways open into the positive aspect of our brains, the more we're able to receive from God, the more God is able to do in our lives. Listen, if you and I are watching movies, reading stuff, and watching the telly, more than we are putting God in, we're changing the balance dramatically. Am I being boring? No, I'm trying to help you. I'm seriously trying to help you. You spend 90 minutes on a movie, you need to spend 90 minutes putting God in at some point as well. Even if you just put on Christian music and let it filter into your mind. Can you see the imbalance, guys? There's such a massive information clog going on in our brains, information coming into us. And if we don't balance it with the truth, we build the other stuff and it's toxic to our life. And we say, I can't pray. I find the word boring. I find God absolutely unstimulating. Why? Because I've made my brain so toxic I can't get anything in there anymore. So when they said to him, look at us, it says that he gave them his attention. And then they said, now we've got a pathway into your brain. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the word Jesus ricocheted into that man and he got up on his feet. You want something from God? Listen, if I just suddenly manifest here, you'd all give me your attention like never before. If I'd have faint, you'd all look at me like I'd never done it, but like you'd never looked before. You'd be all eyes tuned on me. Wow, look what he did. He manifested. Why? Because your expectation got stimulated. Suddenly it wasn't old Les up there doing his thing. There was something going on that interested me. And you gave me your attention. And what was happening would go straight in. When you know the truth will make you free. It will make you free. You will be free. You will be free. You'll be free of disease. You'll be free of bondages. You'll be free of depression. You'll be free of anxiety. You'll be free of anger. Your life will change. Belinda, would you mind coming up here with me? Belinda's my help this morning. Now, you had something which was toxic in your life. And the Lord showed you eventually how to get rid of that. Okay? Tell us.
Okay. What it was in my old church, there's an issue of offense with my pastor. And that was the reason, one of the things that led to me coming here. And there's a number of other people I was offended at as well. And I always just kind of said, like, I'm never going to have anything to do with these people ever again. I would play the thing again over and over and over in my mind. I'd share with Les and Dot about it, and I'd say, like, you know, I've forgiven them. I'd say, Lord, I forgive them, I forgive them, I forgive them. But within moments, it'd come back again. The feelings of bitterness, the feelings of resentment, as I remember the things that had made me so angry. And then with the past, this has gone on for 5 years. You know, I tried everything. I'd like, you know, tried praying over it and you name it. It just wouldn't go. But then I started to pray to the Lord about how to really deal with this once and for all, because I just figured that, you know, I'm too old for this nonsense now. Do you know what I mean? If I really want to grow in the Lord, if I really want to go forward in the Lord, I have to let go. I have to honor his words. There's no getting around the conditions that he's put upon our life for blessing. I thought, you know, we can think that there is, but there isn't. No matter how far we go in our life, he'll bring us back to that point that we haven't honored him concerning a particular thing at. And so I was praying about it, and like he just said to me, you know, I'll contact him, send him an email. And funny enough, I remembered his email, having never spoken to the guy for 5 years, just like that. I remembered his email automatically, and I sent him an email, and I said, like, you know, I didn't go into details of what happened, but I just kind of said, like, when you'd asked me, you know, why I was leaving, I said, like, there wasn't any problem or anything like that, but there was. And I said, like, I held issues in my heart towards you and towards other people. I just basically asked for his forgiveness. And, like, I sent the email. I was like, ooh, you know, after 5 years of, like, you know, basically harboring a grudge, all of a sudden, like, seeing it in God's eyes, I felt so childish at what I've been doing. And then there's other people as well, some I hadn't spoken to for 2 years, X amount of years, and one by one I sent them all an email. And, like, my heart was kind of in my mouth at one point. I didn't know what to expect. But on the other hand, it automatically felt such a sense of liberation and freedom that this thing, something just broke. Something just, like, completely broke off my life. And I was able to praise and worship God in a way I hadn't done for many years. Do you know what I mean? I was just so free in my mind. I can't even describe this to you. I was walking down the street singing. If you saw me, you probably thought I was a mad person. Unless you're a Christian who had discernment, you see I was worshiping God. You know what I mean? But it was just incredible. And every last one of the people contacted me back. They were so gracious. And they said, you know what? We forgive you. We don't hold anything in our hearts towards you. We love you. We want the best for you. And we ask you to forgive us for anything that we might have done to cause offense to you. Every last one of them was gracious. And they didn't really have to be, because, like, it was a long time to hold a grudge or something they weren't even aware of. But I feel so different, completely different. I can't explain it to you, but you know what I mean. And, you know, it's like when God says to us to do something, let's just do it. There's a blessing to it. There are conditions for blessing. And one of the conditions is we must forgive. We are not to hold anything in our heart towards anybody, not even a grain of offense. It doesn't matter what the thing was. Even, as much as it lies within us, let us, you know, go forward and, like, make it right with that person. Let us be the olive branch. Let us step out first of all and say, do you know what, listen, I'm sorry. I've held X, Y, and Z in my heart against you, and I ask for your forgiveness. Let's just do it. It's not worth the amount of time that we lose. Do you know what I mean? You know, with blessings and relationships and all the other things that God might have wanted to do in our life at that time but couldn't because of offenses and all other things that got in the way of what he wanted to do. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it at all. And that's a lifelong lesson for me, just to always, always, always repent and forgive. No matter how hard it is, there's grace to do it. And we'll never have any cause for regret doing anything he tells us to do.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. What happened? The toxic tree was making her life miserable for 5 years. By obeying Jesus, she built the positive tree. Instantly, the toxic tree lost its power in her brain. She got set free. She felt joy. She felt gladness. She felt freedom just by obeying Jesus. Do you know, it's really interesting. When Jesus went to a wedding in Cana with his mother before his ministry started, and they ran out of wine, you know the story. And his mother turned to him and asked him for help. He said, you know, my time hasn't come yet. And she, sharp lady, she turned to the servants and she said to them, do exactly what he tells you. And they went and they did what Jesus said. And Jesus turned the water into the best wine they had at the wedding. If you do exactly what Jesus tells you to do, you will receive the best in your life. You will be overwhelmed with the goodness of God if you just decide to do exactly what he says. I'm not going to quibble. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to justify myself and say, but they don't deserve my forgiveness. Nor did I deserve forgiveness. But if I simply say, that's it, finished. You know, some of us are carrying grudges against God, against people, our parents, each other, people who harmed you in business, people who harmed you as a child at school. We're carrying this stuff and they're toxic thoughts in our brains and they just keep damaging and just keep damaging our lives. Forgiveness is just a decision to do it, but I can't feel forgiveness yet. Do it. Because the alternative is you get handed over to the tormentor, and I don't want anybody to go there. I don't want your life to be tormented because you don't have forgiveness in your heart. I want you to live in the freedom that comes through his word being fulfilled to you. God won't override your will. He won't make you forgive somebody. He won't do anything except that you choose to respond to him in faith. You say, Jesus, I'm going to do it. I really am going to do this. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. You want to see how powerful this word is? Go with me to verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. It's living and active. Well, we make bread at home and open the packet of yeast and it says, this is living and active. What do you mean? It means it can blow the bread up. The Word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart, of the heart. Everything that God has promised is fulfilled through His truth. Through His Word, just entering our hearts, the truth begins to do what only the truth can do in our lives. Really interesting. I was thinking of Jesus when He said, told the parable about the seed that falls on hard ground. And the root doesn't go in. And when the sun comes out, the seed withers and dies. The seed of the Word falls into a brain which is ready to receive it because of use. It begins to produce life right away. It might take you a while to do that. It might take you a while to forgive people. It might take you a while to deal with stuff. I mean, I just thought of something this morning. If somebody is watching pornography online or watching pornography at some point, it's toxic to their minds. It will be toxic. And every time you try to think about God, images will come flashing back. And there has to come a process where you stop feeding the pornography by no longer looking at it, by refusing to think of it. The Bible says, take every thought captive and submit it to Christ. So I'm not going to have a mind that's hostile to God. I'm going to have a mind that's open to God. So I'm going to let this thought not take root in my heart. I choose to not think about it. I choose because God gives you the right to choose. You may fight for a few days while you learn the process of building the positive and destroying the toxic. But eventually it will happen. And eventually your mind will be absorbed with God and you'll be filled with the knowledge of His glory. You know, there's so many people, I watch your lives, this is my job, I watch you all the time. And I see, you know, you come close to Jesus and, oh wow, look where they are. They come to the prayer meeting, they're really hungry for God. And, they've been watching the box too much and not listening to Jesus, and then they start coming up again. And it just happens like that, you know, that's how it works. What you're putting in is what you're going to get out. You put in more of what the world's got, the less of Jesus is going to come out of your life. It's just a simple fact. But it is a choice. Hear me, it is truly a choice. Every day, you and I have the right to choose whether we're putting Jesus in or we're putting the world in. Am I saying, well, you've got to wake up at 5 o'clock and read the Word? If God says so, you've got to do exactly what He says, if that's what He says. Ine, would you come here, please? I wanted Ine to also tell you, Ine and Sengwan have been going through something really amazing, and I just wanted her to answer these questions for me and tell you what's going on. Hi, Ine. Ine, can you tell me what God said to you guys a couple of months back?
Yes, He said to put everything back into the right order, and begin by waking up at 6:30 in the morning and start the day with the Lord, so going to bed at 10:30.
And what did you do as a result?
Struggled. woke up at 6:30 because we had to. Struggled a few weeks to sleep at 10:30, but we did. And so now we go to bed at 10:30 and wake up at 6:30 and start the day with a small prayer meeting between the two of us.
What's happened in your lives as a result?
Wow, so many things. First, we don't have time to do unnecessary things at night because we have to sleep at 10:30. There's a number of things that we can do, so it limits us to doing things that are less important, like watching the news. Anything media, we just don't have time for that. And then waking up early in the morning so we have time for our children, so we're less grumpy with the children. We can prepare the morning for the children, so we're not struggling with the children anymore. The issues are still there, but we've changed, so everything is different. God's light is shining in our lives, and He's showing us so many things that we were not even aware of, that we were doing wrong, that we have to change, that we were doing right, that we should further continue on doing. Just So many things. But the main thing is that God is the number one priority in our life. And He is our Father. And we have, it's like we have restored a relationship as a son to our Father. It's like we're communicating with our Father again. And we have a Father again. And we've become His sons again.
Thank you, Jesus, so much. Thank you, and I appreciate that. Thank you. What they've done is they made a decision, and it was a hard decision to follow through. They had to fight. But as they fought on, something changed in their minds. The truth began to enter their brains. The truth began to get established in greater strength. And Jesus became the priority. And their relationship with God began to become the strongest part of their life. And coming out of that has been the fruit that has come of their life. She hasn't told you much of it, and she didn't want to, and that's for good reason. But they've been sharing with us. Now, God has been dealing radically with them now. But, you know, it wasn't that God was sort of taking stuff out of their hands. They were, hang on, no. They just want to give God whatever He asks. Because obedience, once it becomes a decision, it becomes a learned habit. And your life begins to become built around a decision to be obedient to God. And your life will begin to change. And you'll begin to give God out of that place of obedience rather than out of a place of begrudging. Okay, if you want it because you're a harsh taskmaster. God wants to change your heart. I mean, I sometimes talk to them and they just stand weeping and they just say, you know, God, just showing me my heart. And they just start to weep. And then they said, but He's showing me His love as well. And, you know, guys, that's where God wants to bring us to. Not that we're cool, brilliant at anything, but that our hearts are yielded to Jesus. That we've decided to be obedient to Him no matter what it costs. Because that is an act of faith. Now, God has said things to many people in this room, including me. At some point, He's asked you to do stuff. He's asked you for stuff. He said, stop doing that. He said, sort that relationship out. He said, deal with your marriage issues. He said, stop watching all that rubbish on the box for hours on end and stop building a relationship with Me. All of that starts with one thing. It's a decision. Yeah. I've messed up. I've just fed the wrong part. I have to feed myself with Jesus so that every little branch in my cortex becomes thick with His presence and He becomes the overriding factor in my life and He becomes the one that controls what goes in and what comes out of my life so that what is in me is what brings joy to Him. Isn't it fascinating? Jesus said, to him who has much, much will be given. But to him who has little, even the little he has will be taken from him. If you have much of Jesus in you, there will be more added to that. If you have little, even the little you have, you'll lose eventually. It'll be overwhelmed by the toxic thoughts and eventually you'll say, where is Jesus? It doesn't even exist in my life anymore. But we have the right to make a choice. You know, I haven't discovered it yet, but I've got a sneaky feeling that speaking in tongues builds positive things in my cortex. Because I feel cool. You know, I can knock a nail in beautifully if I speak in tongues while I'm knocking the nail in. So it's got to affect my brain in some way. But if I sometimes don't speak in tongues, and you know, some nails are in a difficult position, and it just bends as you're knocking in. It's so frustrating. If I drive in heavy traffic, I speak in tongues all the time because it really makes it easy to drive in difficult traffic. What am I doing? I'm building something positive in here. Paul says in Acts, in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. You build yourself up in your most holy faith. So, let's do it. I want to ask you something this morning. I want to ask you if you want to come on a journey with me. Closer to Jesus than you've ever been before. Do you want to live in the place where you live in all the fullness of all the blessing? You know, He came to give you fullness of life. He didn't come to take away your life from you. In case any of you thought that I was being very cheeky in sending you that scripture, that statement by text yesterday, I just want to tell you where I got it. If you go with me to Acts chapter 15, John chapter 15, Jesus says in verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. I wasn't being cheeky. I want you to know that you can have whatever you wish when he remains in you and you, his words remain in us and we live in him. He says, ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. And I said to the Lord this morning, does that mean that Arsenal will win every single week? Does that mean that I can have a Mercedes and a BMW? Does it mean I can have a flat in Knightsbridge? Does it mean I can have... And the Lord said, when you get close to him, what you want will change completely. It's a fact. I don't want a flat in Knightsbridge. If I have a choice between a flat in Knightsbridge and knowing his presence just for 1 second, I'll choose his presence. I know that there are people, when they get closer to Jesus, they suddenly find they don't want to keep all their material stuff. They just want to get rid of stuff because I don't need the stuff anymore. You see, when my main source of influence is telling me to have, be, do, and acquire stuff and get hold of riches, then that's what my life's drive becomes. But when Jesus is the passion of my heart, I guarantee you right now that if you could have a choice between a BMW and a Mercedes-Benz or Jesus, what would you choose? Is there a choice? There isn't a choice, you see. When you come to that place, instead of saying, you need to be like this, it's saying, there's a way for us to get there. Build the presence of Jesus, build it through the truth. Now I'm going to ask you to come on this journey with me. I'm going to ask you to make a decision from today. I'm going to ask you to pray in tongues solidly for 10 minutes every day this week. We will step it up next week. But every single day, pray aloud in tongues for 10 minutes. You can do it while you're driving. You can do it while you're on the tube. Pray under your breath. But pray in tongues for 10 minutes, no less. If you can do more, even better. The next thing I'm going to ask you to do, the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. That's one for every day of the week. My day of the month, forgive me. Today is the 7th. So today, read Proverbs chapter 7. Tomorrow, Proverbs chapter 8. When you get to the last day of the month, you go back to the beginning of Proverbs again. And just read them for a whole month. Read one chapter of Proverbs every single day and begin to see one verse and see, one chapter, and you will see the truth beginning to set you free. You'll begin to see your life change. You will come back next week and you'll be in a different place. You pray for 10 minutes every day. You read one chapter of Scripture every day. Your life will begin to change. You will be in a different place next week than you are now. Now, there will be a lot of reasons why you can't do this. There will be an enemy who says, don't do this. There will be everything. I haven't got the time to do this. Dare to trust God. Just dare to trust God. Did you need to watch the news or did you need to fill yourself with the truth of Jesus? Make the choice, guys. What do you want out of your life? Seriously, make the choice. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. This week, we can have a glorious week. It's a choice. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.